7 to be. It's the Drive at 5, 103.7 to beat, exclusive. Muskegon, let me tell you about Ricky Ross. This is the real Rick Ross. I'm going to give you a little bit about who he is. If you didn't see BET American Gangster, Ricky Donnell Ross is known as Freeway Ricky Ross, is a convicted drug trafficker best known for his drug empire that presided over Los Angeles in the early 1980s. The nickname Freeway came from Ross owning several properties along the Harbor Freeway. His old house he grew up in is where the freeway now stands. During the height of his drug dealing, Ross claims to have made $2 to $3 million a week. In 1996, he was sentenced to life imprisonment after being convicted of trying to purchase more than 100 kilograms of cocaine from a federal agent. Ross became the subject of the controversy later on that year with a series of articles by journalist Gary Webb in the San Jose Mercury News brought to light a connection between one of Ross' cocaine sources, a CIA agent, in the Iran-Contra scandal. The decision in Ross's case was brought to the Federal Court of Appeals, where his sentence was reduced to 20 years. His sentence has since been reduced further for being a model prisoner, and he was moved to a halfway house in California. He was released in September 2009. Of course, there's a lot we can say about his record, but he's an ex-drug trafficker who now tries to speak truth to power, change his life around. Had connections with everybody on the streets, from the Bloods and the Crips. You name it, he had the connections. He had the gun connection. He had the money connection. He had the cars connection. He had an empire of drug operation. But here today, he here to tell you a story of a new Ricky Ross. We want to welcome to the show one American gangster, Mr. Rick Ross. How you doing today, Rick Ross?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, man?
Wow. Well, I'm doing great. I'm happy to get you on the phone line. First of all, I know you're out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it's probably sunny, beautiful out there. I want to go straight to the gusto, because you got a problem with your name being used in a negative way by a certain rapper, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a lot that goes with that, you know what I'm saying? He's using it and he's telling a story that's not really true, you know what I'm saying? If he was representing something that he had really did, it would be different, but I feel that he's painting youngsters' minds into believing that, you know, there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. You know, selling drugs is going to land you in two places, penitentiary or the graveyard, or both.
How much drugs did you sell?
Oh, man, I sold tons of drugs.
When you say tons, semi-truck loads, boat loads?
Man, I didn't get it like that. You know what I'm saying? I got mine hundreds at a time, you know, instead of boat loads at a time. So when I say hundreds, you know, on a week basis, maybe 300, 400 kilos.
Wow. That's enough for a whole city.
A lot of drugs. That's a lot of drugs in my time.
How long did you sell drugs?
I sold drugs for 8 years.
For 8 years?
Which was a long career. You know, I had what is considered to be a long career for the drug business because of the things that I did to not be detected.
Right.
You know, I didn't enjoy the big cars, the gold, the jewelry. You know, I basically stayed low-key. I blended in well with the community. I wasn't one that stood out. You know, one that people could
identify
as being a drug dealer.
What made you get into the drug game?
Man, like a knowledge, you know what I'm saying? Like of self-awareness. You know, I didn't really know who I was, so I was looking for something. You know, I almost like a drug user. You know, a drug user, usually they go to using drugs because something is not right in their life. They don't feel that they fit in. They need something to boost them up.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people will use a nice car or some rims or a pair of tennis shoes to make them feel important. And I felt that I used drugs to do that for me.
Right. Did you ever join any gang affiliation?
No, I never per se gangbang, but, you know, I guess you could say I grew up in gang. You know, I grew up in a gang-infested neighborhood. So, you know, all my friends were gang members, but I never jumped on nobody because they was from this area or that area. You know, I didn't run around saying that I'm from here or I'm from that. and I definitely never shot at nobody for that.
Right, right, right.
Well, I never considered myself to be a gangbanger.
How many people did you have out there working for you?
Oh, man, at one time, just my inner circle could have been, 40, 50 people, just my inner circle. You know, the guys that I'm with every day.
That can get close to you, that was close to you. Let's move up to 2010. With this war on drugs thing, I'm sure you know the inside. Is it really a war on drugs?
No, I think it's a war on the people. You know, I mean, for first thing, you can't declare war on a substance. You know, how can you defeat a substance that has really no power? The only power that it has is what the people give it. So I think that the war on drugs is a joke. The war on drugs has been implemented. The price of drugs has went down. Drugs are more plentiful on the street than ever before. But yet, and still, they're locking up our young black and brown citizens, you know, by the thousands.
Tell us about the connection, your connection with the federal government. You had somebody that was working for the CIA that was working
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely. Well, he didn't work for me. He was the guy I got my drugs from.
Okay.
He was my drug supplier. And I didn't know, you know, at the time, I didn't know his connection. The only thing that I knew is that he had a lot of cheap drugs. And that was the only thing that I was really concerned with, was getting his drugs as cheap as I could and as fast as I could.
Was he working on the behalf of the federal government? Was he doing this on his own?
He was a CIA operative. He said that the drugs that he sold, the money went to fund a war in Nicaragua.
So they used
that on a witness stand as a government witness.
Wow. When you found this out, what did you think when you found this out?
I was blown away. You know, I thought I was a rebel. I was going against the system when I sold drugs. I felt that the system had been trying to hold me down, that the system had been keeping, you know, all the finer things in life. I felt that the system didn't want us to have it. And I wanted a piece of it if it meant that I had to die to get it.
Wow.
Or go to prison.
Wow. But at the same time, it was the system that was providing the drugs.
Yeah, man, you make me sound crazy. Yeah, man. You
didn't
have to say it like that.
You know, it is what it is, Freeway Ricky.
Yeah,
Rock. It
man,
is what it
is. Yeah, that's how crazy I was, man. You know, you thinking you're going against the system, and then all the time you're working for the system, you know.
Do you think that the system is still involved?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, there's no way that they could get drugs into this country without the aid of the government. They can tell you, when you cross them borders, they can tell you the number on the license plate from the satellite.
Mm.
So,
right.
You know, they do what they want to do.
When did you change? When did you become a changed man?
After I became aware of all the things that was going on. You know, when you don't know, it ain't your fault. But once you become conscious of what's going on, then you have to take action. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm taking action, you know, with going around talking to kids about the dangers of getting involved with drugs and really letting them know who they are, man, because, you know, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know that I could do all the things that I'm doing right now until I was woke up and saw. I think that the cocaine is a trap to get the young, bright entrepreneurs out of our community, guys that would come back and help, and the guys that would uplift the community, because most dope dealers, even though they sell drugs, they still do it with the intention of being able to help their families and their community.
They have intent, right, of trying to provide for their family. We do hear that. But it is a trap. What caused that light bulb to click on? Was it a certain thing you read? Is it just that doing time? Was it somebody who
really,
says?
You know, I was fortunate enough that somebody handed me three books that really opened my eyes and really showed me who I am, you know, to where I can do the things that I'm doing today. You know, I'm shooting my movie right now.
Yeah, I heard about that. Tell us about the movie.
Well, Nick Cassavetti, the guy who wrote Blow, who's probably one of the best writers in Hollywood and best directors in Hollywood, is helping me write my script right now. He's going to direct it, and I'll be helping him. He's going to let me play all the way in with him. And I'm just so excited, you know, about the whole situation. We've been budgeted already, and I'll own 30% of the movie. You know, I didn't
That's
take
good.
Any money up front. I want it back in, and I want ownership. I didn't want, you know, my story to be told, and I'd be sitting back, and that was it. I didn't have nothing else to do with it. So I took ownership in the movie, and it's coming along. And I'm also, you know, right now negotiating with my record label. I just come from a meeting with T-Mobile today, and we're talking about doing some new stuff on phones. And man, there's so many opportunities that open up for me, you know, since I changed my life and
right.
started educating myself.
What did you think about the piece that BET did on you? Were you happy with it? Did it show? Did it tell the story?
You know, they was close. You know, BET was close. You know, it was a long time ago, man. You're talking about 20 some years ago. So I think that the job they did was okay.
Was okay. Okay. If you had a chance to do it all over again, what would Freeway Ricky Ross do different?
Man, I would never sell drugs. You know, right now I know that I can do anything. You know, since I've been home, I started, like I say, the movie. Right now, I started a trucking company. I mean, there's just so many things that I could take this mind of mine and do. And if I had it to do all over, I would take this mind and use it in other ways than selling drugs.
So if the kids out there listening, because in our community, small community, they are starting to emulate the Crips and the Blood here in the Midwest, in our little small community. They're starting to emulate that. What can you say to those youth? I mean, we have some unsolved murder cases that are shootings in the broad daylight.
Well, you know, the first thing that I would tell them is that they are somebody and they are important. No matter where you at today, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we look at our current situation and be so depressed for us that it makes us want to just give up, you know, not want to go on and fight to be better. And you can't let that affect you. You can't let your environment control who you are or who you become. You have to control your environment. And that's the thing that I learned from being in prison. You know, while I was in prison, I created my own social network website, freewayenterprise.com.
Hmm.
And I'd never been on a computer.
Okay.
But I read the books and I saw what needed to be done, and I started to make those things happen, you know, from my prison cell.
Right. Wow. Wow.
You know, we have so much that we can do if we just take our minds and use it. And that's what I hope that our young people, because they're so bright right now. You know, the kids now are smarter than they ever were, but at the same time, they're not using it.
Right. Is it hard for them to get out the game, though?
The game is tough once you're in. I mean, you know, when you're in, it seems like it's easy money because, you know, you've done all this work to learn what you're doing. So it's definitely hard. I think it's harder to quit selling than it is to quit using.
Wow. Big Rob, go ahead with your
question. I think that the government, you know, we should do things for drug dealers. You know, we should have a thing where they could come in and say, okay, if you sold drugs, you can come in here and get you a trade. You can learn how to do something different so that they can turn around. But, you know, the government makes it so tough now. You know, if you sold drugs and you got the money, the first thing they say is take everything you got. You know, you have to give up all that if you want to go straight.
Right, right.
So it's tough for drug dealers to go straight. And I think that those laws need to change. And, you know, they got guys, man, I got partners that's been in jail, man, 25 years, was 19 years old when they went to jail, never hurt nobody. All they did was sell a certain amount of drugs and got caught. And they give them a life sentence.
Wow.
I think that that's cruel and unusual punishment. I think that if a guy can show that he's genuinely changed, that he deserves another chance.
Right. That this law that the federal government has about cocaine, you believe that's the trap?
Absolutely, it's a trap. Trap to get us in to work for Unicorp. You know, in Unicorp, they pay you 25 cents an hour to do jobs that on the street would pay $16 to $20 an hour. And the reason they got these jobs in Unicorp because they know these guys that they got in prison are entrepreneurs. They know that these guys are not going to just sit around and do nothing, that these guys want to be productive. So they bring in these 25 cents an hour, and these guys gladly do them because they don't have anything else to do.
On the phone line, if you're just joining us, we have the real Freeway Ricky Ross is on the phone line out in Los Angeles, California, with my co-host Big Rob. You got a question for him?
Yeah, how did you feel when you first saw American Gangster? I mean, and they had you on there. What was your thought process on that?
Well, the first thing when I knew, I was hoping that I was portrayed in the proper light, and what I didn't like about the piece, and it wasn't BET's fault, it was the prison's fault, because prison wouldn't let me speak, and I felt that it wasn't enough about what I'm doing right now, how I've grown, you know, how I've matured, you know, because really when I sold drugs, I was young. You know, when you're young, we all young, think we know everything.
Right, right.
when I saw the BET piece, you know, I was excited about it. I was glad that that BET had finally done it. And the only thing that I hated is that I didn't have more say-so in it. And, you know, I'm still, right now, I'm trying to put together another documentary as we speak. You
okay.
know, where I'll have total say-so and you know, where I'll be able to just show, you know what I'm saying, my transformation and the things that I'm doing right now.
Have you had a chance to have you met the rapper Rick Ross?
We spoke on the phone several times.
And so he know how you feel?
Absolutely. He knew how I feel when I was in prison. I talked to him when I was in prison about it.
Yeah. What about his images that you just totally disagree with?
Well, you know, the first thing, the man's committing a fraud. You know, you're committing a fraud because you had the people thinking that it was one way and it wasn't that way. You know, they were thinking that it was me and it wasn't me.
Right.
You know, I had built up a reputation, bad or good, for whatever reason, you know, you might look at it, whatever way you might look at it, but that was my reputation. That was my name. That was my persona. So for him to come in and take it and have people thinking that he's me is wrong.
Now, does he own the name or do you own the name?
Well, you know what? He tried to trademark the name while I was in prison, and the trademark commission told him that it was my name. I never officially trademarked it, but they said that I made the name famous, and they denied him the right to trademark it.
Now, how do you think his role and the images that he put out there affect our kids?
Greatly. You know, the first time I ever heard about cocaine was from a movie called Superfly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we plant those images in our kids' minds, those things stick.
Right.
You know, a young kid, 9 or 10 or 12 years old, hear him talking about how much dope he sold, and they see him driving the Rolls Royce and with all the pretty women and whatnot, then they want that same lifestyle.
Wow. If parents out here, they don't know if they son or daughter is in a gang. They don't know if their son or daughter is selling drugs. What's some of the things you can tell them they can look out for or be conscious of?
Well, you know, the first thing you want to do is you got to get to know your kid. You know, you got to take the time out to listen to what they're telling you. And a lot of times, you know, kids are honest. You know, if you take the time out to listen to them, they'll be totally honest and blunt with you. They'll let you know exactly what's on their mind, how they feel, and what they're going through.
Right.
Too often, we as adults, we don't listen to them. You know, we're too busy telling them what they need to be done, what they need to do, and what needs to be done, instead of first, you know, listening and then be listened to.
Wow. Freeway Ricky Ross on the phone line. A few more questions for you. I'm looking at this a report on the guy that was informant. And I really believe there's a lot more informants out there for the government. You know, there was a guy who the federal government funded to start a hate radio show online by the name of Hal Turner. Ended up showing up in court. He crossed the line of his agreement with the federal government, and it's been made public that he was an informant to infiltrate the hate groups.
Is that right?
Yeah. This is on Hal Turner. He was in the Chicago federal court. He was paid by the federal government to start his hate radio show, to infiltrate hate groups. So, folks, there are the government definitely is this counterintelligence thing is still going on.
Oh, without a question, they put bounties on people's heads. You know, that was a bounty put on my head.
Wow.
And he collected the bounty when he brought me in. So they're definitely paying rewards. I mean, right now for informants, they give informants anywhere from $20,000 to $200,000 or $300,000 a head, according to who the head is.
Now, how do you feel about the COINTELPRO? You know, because that all came about with you.
What was that you said?
He said, how do you feel about it? Because it all started off with you being one of the top figureheads, you know, the Black Panthers. And how do you feel about that, the COINTELPRO?
About them with informants?
Yeah.
The COINTELPRO.
Well, I never heard of that word before, but I think informants are a piece of work. You know, first of all, how can you take the word of a person that's a known liar, that's a known thief, a known robber, a dope dealer, and then bring them in court and give somebody a life sentence strictly off of his word?
Right.
And you know that he's trying to save his life. He's looking at a life sentence
So he turn around and give his life sentence to you. I think that's wrong.
Wow. So do you believe in today that the federal government could be supplying our neighborhoods with drugs?
Without a question.
Because it happened to you?
It happened to me. And this ain't the first time, you know, that they've done that.
Right, right.
I mean, our government has a record of not caring about their people, and especially not the black people.
Hmm. There's a history there. We know the history. We know about the syphilis
Absolutely.
Disease.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, if you do your history, see, I didn't know about none of that. So I went to jail.
Right.
They never taught that in school. And, you know, and that's another reason probably why a lot of our kids don't care about school, because they don't see themselves in school.
Hmm.
Now, how was the transition from you doing all those years? Now, were you in a state prison or a federal prison?
I was in federal prison.
So,
transition has been pretty easy. You know, I haven't really had any problems. Things are going well for me. And you know, I'm just enjoying life right now. You know, to come from where I've been and to be here on the street, you know, really, it's just, you know, just a blessing for me.
Are you happy to be alive, man?
Absolutely. Happy to be alive, happy to be free. You know, it's wonderful.
Wow. Give out the website again before we go. It's Freeway Ricky Ross on the phone line, the website.
Yeah, the website is freewayenterprise.com. Also, you know, we're giving away a pair of those Dr. Dre headphones every week. We'll be giving away a pair to a member on our website. So y'all check me out, freewayenterprise.com. Sign up, tell your friends. I need all the help I can get. I'm trying to take on MySpace and Facebook.
Okay. this is a social network, right?
It's a social network. You can put your music. Also, I'm looking for artists. I'm looking for models. I'm looking for people who want to play in movies. There's a lot of opportunities on freewayenterprise.com. So look me up. Help your boy out. Freewayenterprise.com, man. I appreciate y'all having me on the air, man. One love.
One love. Take care, brother. God bless.
All right. Peace. All right.